This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Is really NFL is modern day slavery.
And
Stephen Ross owned
you. Paid me millions.
And slaves got paid too.
Slaves got paid.
What too.
What did they pay with?
With housing.
Ass
with housing.
And a
with
share.
Housing.
As saved. What are you talking about?
You didn't own your career.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get the pills. That's why we right to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know, despite his skills. Facts. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wicked wheel straight up. But in the past bag, work up in the trash bag. I'll pass a lie to take the test before I pass class. Yeah. And my family needed bread. I had to come correct. That's why I keep airing it out like I just passed gas.
This is season 2, episode 2. Okay? And the first one to answer, name the artist for 500.
Travis Tritt.
Who?
Travis Tritt.
Travis Tritt? I ain't never heard of Travis Tritt. You can't answer. You can't answer. No, you can't answer. Oh, Seth can answer.
Kevin Gates.
Yeah.
Take
your
seat.
Yeah. Hold on. His voice hit. I don't listen to rap.
He lying.
Who?
Hoover did, bro?
When we work out, I like Troy music. I like old school.
That's my music. That ain't Troy's music.
That ain't show music.
That
man.
Is my
That's Troy music, man.
I put it on oldies.
Nah, no, you don't.
And it's only for the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, I like old school.
You though. Like old school?
And jazz and blues. Old school jazz and blues.
You know what's interesting?
You can't even understand what nobody's saying today anyway.
What's interesting is...
But can we understand what any Florida person is saying?
Well, who do you think?
Huh?
We can't really understand what Florida people say in general.
What do you mean? Rap has changed. The sound has changed completely. You don't understand what the hell they're saying. It's mumble rap. I don't know what the they're talking about.
So you don't listen to... Okay, but that don't mean that... So basically what you're saying is you don't listen to modern hip-hop. But you still listen to old school, like, you know, some Scarface, some Jay-Z, some Nas.
You know what the hell they talking about. You can understand what they're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
What are they rapping about today?
I can fight with that.
Popping pills and drinking and I don't do that no more. I'm old.
Yeah. hold on.
What he said, age. That's what it is. It's age. I'm telling you.
I mean, it's cool. But that's what's in that. The sound will change in another 7 years. It'll be a different sound. And I think history repeats itself, so the sound will go back to actually understanding what the artist is saying. Being there's substance to what the
lyrics.
The lyrical.
Yeah.
I mean, they're lyrical. I still can't understand the shit.
What does WAP stand for?
What does WAP stand for?
Wet ass.
That's what you make the songs about, the lyricist stuff.
What's wrong with that?
Come on, man.
Nothing.
If you're blessed with it, why can't you talk about it?
Essay.
Why can't women own their sexuality? Why do y'all have such a problem? You want to own their sexuality, but you don't want women to own their sexuality. And that is the problem.
Ooh.
Well, how about this? NFL is modern day slavery. Make yourself better than a stripper.
NFL's modern day slavery? Modern day slavery.
What was the slave salary cap?
Stephen Ross owned you. And how does it feel? And paid me millions. And slaves got paid too.
Slaves got paid too.
What did you pay with?
With housing.
Ass
with housing.
And a share. Essay. What are you talking about?
You didn't own your career.
I didn't own my career.
I don't think any football player does.
I own mine. I didn't follow any rules.
What that mean though?
I didn't follow the rules.
Did you own it?
Yes.
You paid fines. You paid over $5 million fines in your
great
career.
Great question. Were they able to control me?
Did they follow any rules?
Were they able to control me?
No, you didn't follow any rules.
Thank you. Period. Case closed.
And that's why your legacy is different than others.
Rules, but you had
correct?
To pay them to play your game.
I don't care.
So every worker at a store is owned by the owner? Because they get a salary to work at that store. The people that work at this restaurant, they're owned by the owner of the restaurant because they get a salary to be in the store.
There's
NFL teams, you have a salary.
There's
to
much
play
more
football.
Regulations on an NFL player than it is on someone
and
that works in a restaurant.
I know that you keep changing the topic. Every time you get a check from somebody as a superior, you're owned by them.
Your
That's
check,
what you're
your
saying.
Check comes with a lot more limitations. I used to do the contracts.
Okay,
I know.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, is that your
so
checks are different than
the Publix workers and the Walgreens workers are owned.
No, because
they
guess
get a
what?
Check. They the get a check and do a job.
Because if you work at Walgreens, you can post whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. That's different. You didn't have that right. And you don't have the right to judge someone else for how they make money off of their body. You made money off of your body.
And professional athletes and strippers, same thing.
Why are you looking down on them?
I'm asking you a question. You can't keep just changing and asking questions about the questions. If you take money from a superior, you're owned. If you believe that,
to some
it's
extent.
Ridiculous.
To some
okay.
extent.
Well, that, well that's
extent.
It. That's different
Absolutely.
Ideologies than we think.
Absolutely.
If I'm getting paid to do a job, it's my profession. Profession.
And they're getting paid to
profession.
Do their job. So why aren't
and
they
it's not a respectable job. Come on now.
Why is it irrespectable? Because you have a problem with women owning their sexuality. Just admit it.
Owning their
it
sexuality.
It makes you uncomfortable.
All right, so
it
here,
makes you uncomfortable.
So no, like, no, this is really good discussion. What do we have here, chef?
Steak house bruschetta. So it's like a ribeye on top of a bruschetta with smeared blue cheese underneath. Very flavorful, a couple of different flavor components with the basil, tomato, and balsamic vinegar.
Looks great.
Interesting conversation. 2020 NFL season. What are you guys seeing? Who are you following? What storylines? What teams? Et cetera, et cetera. Because there's a lot going on. We got football. We got COVID-19. What's your procedure? What's your policy? How do you approach that? And then you also have this dynamic of racial tension. I strongly believe, like, black man gets shot, black football player don't play. Because the NBA set the precedent. So there's, like, three things that I'm following here. So, but I'm curious to see, like, you know, what you guys are excited about, what you guys aren't excited about, no fans in the stand, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm excited about the game in general. Obviously, Dolphin fan, Bengal fan, I'm excited about Burrow. Hoping that the culture shifts in Cincinnati. Fan of the Dolphins. Not sure how Fitzpatrick will do. You know, he's an up and down player. Excited about Tua. Other than that, that's pretty much it. I think the top dogs are going to always be the top dogs, the Green Bays, the Kansas Cities. Obviously, Cam, I'm excited about him, especially after his performance week one.
So let's break down so you Cincinnati Bengal, you know, all-time legendary Hall of Famer, which you said, oh, I don't care about being a Hall of Famer, but that's a whole nother segment, whole nother
Stop
episode.
Stop allowing them people to control you off of something
bro,
that they
that's
created.
What, bro, you can't tell me. You put on a yellow jacket.
They created that, and you're worried about being
You created
something.
That. You put on a yellow jacket.
Because I felt I deserved it. If I wanted to play politics, I would have been a politician.
So what you put on a yellow jacket?
Because I'm worthy of being... Oh, my God. Is he serious? You went to college. You know why I put it on. Because I'm a Hall of Famer in my eyes. I'm not waiting for you.
So what basically what you're saying is...
And that's when I felt I'm worthy of being Hall of Fame.
So in that moment, when you put on that yellow jacket, you're like, yo, I did everything to show... Like, I'm one of the greatest. For you.
For me, yeah.
For you, in that moment, when you put on a yellow jacket after you scored that touchdown, you came back to the sideline. And you thought about this.
I told you why.
Ocho, you thought about this in a hotel room.
I told you why, because I've crossed 10,000 yards. I needed 34 yards across 10,000. And at that moment, I feel I am Hall of Fame worthy. And I'm not waiting on.
Okay, all right. So let's say this. In your mind, you knew back then, that was what, how many years ago?
I don't know. So long ago.
Almost 10 years ago. Maybe even more.
Longer than that.
Longer than that?
Yeah.
Damn. It's a long time. So almost more than 10 years ago, you knew that you was a Hall of Famer. So, like, do you think that you will be voted in and win?
Nah.
You don't think you'll be voted in?
Mm-mm. Politics.
Why?
Knucklehead, just nah.
I disagree.
Nah, but if T.O. got in.
T.O. is the second in every category there is. They had no choice but to let him in and still played him.
Mm-hmm.
And you also said something, you said something off camera, but you talked about, like, you know, the best receivers of all time. And you said T.O. and Randy Moss.
I like Jerry. But I'm just saying, seeing in person, up close, my own eyes, T.O. and Moss, man.
You put them above Jerry?
No. But I watched seeing them. I'm just saying.
So give me your top. Give me your top five all-time wide receivers then.
And that's too much.
That's too much?
Yeah.
No, you got to do what you mean.
Nah, I mean, just too much right now. Put me on that spot. I just, to me, my favorites are T.O. and Randy.
T.O. Randy.
Yeah.
Right. I think you're running away from the conversation. I'll do it. My top five all time. I would put T.O. number one.
Over Jerry?
I put T.O. over Jerry. Yeah, like what he was able to do, bro. Jerry was different. Let's not take anything away from Jerry. His work ethic, second to none. But you put T.O. with two of the all-time greatest quarterbacks?
Right.
That speed, that size, that football IQ, what could he have done? What more can he have done?
What would Jerry have been if Jerry had the technology and the nutrition and all that we had that T.O. had when Jerry's back there eating damn ramen noodles and going out there and breaking every record in football?
I see what you're saying, but I can't really buy into that because Jerry was next level in his own right. Like Jerry, the way he approached his offseason, how he worked, was different than most guys.
And Jerry got bumped. Jerry played back when they can damn near make a baby with the receiver down the field. T.O., what y'all got, 5 yards? No. And now they can't even touch with the handle. Bro, I can't deal with the Jerry Rice disrespect now.
Yeah. So you got Jerry Rice number one?
Yes.
So give me your top five. If Ocho don't want to give his top five, no, it's okay. We can put it on wax. You scared to give your top five?
I like. I just gave you my two.
I've never been a politician.
I gave you my
I
two.
I like to be political.
No, he
I gave
you my you two. You acknowledge that Jerry was on another level.
Yeah, I gave you my two. That's the only two that matter. The rest after that, it doesn't
but
matter.
Jerry's not
so,
after
okay,
that.
So there's no order. There's no order. So Jerry's not in your top two.
Yeah, he's in his own stratosphere, but I like T.O. most.
So he's saying that Jerry's number one.
No, he's not saying that.
But that's what you're
T.O. and Moss. I'm not talking about Jerry. T.O. and Moss are my favorite.
Exactly.
Let's not talk about Jerry. Let's talk about Rashid. So we going to come back, though. I'm going to let you simmer on that because I'm Mr. Not Politician. Okay,
I mean,
so we'll let you sit there.
Wrong.
No, and okay, you want to play politics right now because the receiver politics. Culture. I get it. Channing, give me your top five wide receivers.
Easy. It's just Chad, but he don't want to say it. Jerry, Moss, T.O.
That's three. Your three. What's four or five?
You got Marvin Harrison. I mean, you can go so many different ways.
But the old dudes, bro, you got to just remember, too, man. There's some OGs like that play with Jerry that we're not thinking about because we didn't see them play. But like a Paul Warfield. And there's just receivers back in the day, bro, that was special. But we can't do it. I tell you this. I'm with Chad. I didn't see Jerry run on the field. I lined up against Randy Moss, and there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Triple team, quadruple team. If they throw the ball real high, he's going to get it. Most amazing thing I seen was playing Randy Moss and Tom Brady. What was that, 07? Bro.
Yeah, unbelievable.
So you like Moss over T.O.?
Yes.
Interesting. To me, T.O. is the greatest receiver of all time. I like T.O., I like Randy Moss, and then I like Jerry at three. Well, numbers. I just look at, like, if everything was equal, that's my top three. And then four, do you scare? He's scared. He's so scared. He is so scared to give his top five.
Yeah.
He want to be so political.
I don't have a top five.
Okay.
I don't have a top five.
I get it.
I don't have a top five.
You're going to force me. T.O. would have cussed out Joe Montana's ass every game.
Here's my four. My four is, I'm like you, bro. I can't go four or five.
I don't have a
four or five.
You can't even go wrong. I'm just saying you can't go wrong. 3 to 5. You can't go wrong. It's interchangeable. But T.O. and Moss are on another fucking level.
Yeah. Well, what made them so special, though?
Dude, for one, T is just a absolute beast. Randy, obviously, height, speed. How are you 6'5 and running 4'2? You're not supposed to be able to do that at that size.
Yeah.
Like, how? The DBs play 10 yards off. He runs 5 yards. The DB still has a 7-yard cushion. He throws his hand up and still runs by you.
Yeah.
Like, what are you, how?
Mm-hmm. I remember when Cole Pepper came to the Dolphins, and I was a Moss fan my whole life. So Cole Pepper come to the Dolphins, Minnesota with Moss and Card and them boys out there balling. And I was talking to Pep one day. Pep told me, he said, bro, my check down was throwing the ball as far and as high as I can.
Then let it rip.
So when the shit hit the fan, everybody else looked for a little running back. He said he cocked back and just let it fly. And he knows he can't throw further than Randy can go get it.
Wow. I remember there was a clip that on the sideline where Randy Moss went to Cole Pep. I was like, bro, just throw it as far as you can. You know, that's so true. I would say this because I'm working my way here because I haven't really thought about this. But forward for me would be Calvin Johnson.
I was about to say, Calvin is in there and Larry Fitzgerald owns some. He needs some respect too.
Yeah, I love Larry. And I will always use him as example as the ultimate pro. If my son said, I want to play wide receiver, then I'm going to point to Larry over all these guys we're talking about.
Right.
But I got to go with Calvin number four, and I got to go with number five. I truly believe Julio Jones.
Julio. He's going to finish up there.
Julio.
He's going to finish up there.
Yeah, and the reality is, like, if you put Julio in New England with Tom Brady and just averaging maybe 1,200 yards a year, not 1,500 yards, like, he's just a maniac right now. He's on the tier. Whatever that is, I think Julio goes down as like probably the best receiver of all time.
I think Antonio would have went down better than Julio if he would have just been playing consistently.
From a number standpoint, yeah. From a number standpoint, but from an actual like talent, like I like
you trying to get a touchdown, you gonna throw the AB?
If I'm trying to get a touchdown, I'm throwing that Julio. AB is really good. Don't get me wrong. Like, no, AB is a beast.
And you got to look at his,
speed, skill, football IQ. That's what I'm looking at. You know, AB, is he the fastest? No, he's not the fastest. He's super quick, though.
And he came from the bottom. He didn't have an easy road to get to where he's at. So you got to put respect on that. Just like you got to put respect on Jerry Rice going to a HBCU. Like, there's some respect that you have to give to AB for what he did for his size and for him to be able to catch it deep and go up against anybody.
That's true.
Just like you say, somebody can just need to throw it up.
So basically what you're saying is you're going to take – you have a draft right now. Let's say SA strippers is a profession club. You ain't got to run back. SA strippers is a profession club.
No, women empowerment club. Thank you. Continue.
Okay. Continue. Women empowerment club. First overall pick, 2021 NFL draft. Wide receivers on the board. You got Julio. You got AB. You're going. Basically, what you're saying is you're going with AB.
Yeah, well, did you go to the Houston Super Bowl? Did you see what happened to the Falcons?
What's that got to do with Julio?
Was he on the team?
All right. So let's push the conversation forward then. Now, today, you got Odell. This is a crappy situation around Odell. And none of y'all picked up on that. None of y'all.
Yeah,
that was like over y'all head.
I didn't know we were going there.
You on radio every single day.
I didn't know we were going there because Odell.
I knew where you were going. That's why I started eating my food.
No. It went over your head. It's okay.
No, it didn't go over my head. I didn't want to talk about it.
He came out and said it was false.
No, yeah. He did not say it was false. He said it's the craziest thing he's ever heard.
He didn't deny it.
I tell you, with Odell, all his problems are brought on by himself. All his issues, why he gets traded, why he got left, why they traded from the Giants, why he about to get traded from the Browns is on him. 100% on Odell's personality. One of the most talented young men in the game right now. You said it, one of the most athletic young men in the game right now. Mentally, he needs a big brother. He needs somebody to really take him on his wing. Odell brings everything on himself, and I almost feel sorry for him.
But he ain't doing nothing wrong. What you mean?
Yeah, like, what'd he do? What's wrong with him, though?
Bro, he just, with all the foolishness, with all the, we saw the pictures with the coke on the bed with the girl. We just saw, like, don't act like this dude is a straight edge, straight arrow. You know what I'm saying? Chad, you always say like you didn't go by the rule. But bro, you didn't, when you look at Odell's situations with all the girls and the and doo-doo baby and the coke and all that stuff, Chad, you ain't do nothing like that. You went to your own beat. You danced to your own beat, Chad.
It's different.
Chad, you know, Chad said he was an amateur pro.
I want to see how you feel about it. With Odell, with the beating up the kicking net, and then going to marry the kicking net and all that. You did all the Hall of Fame jacket and all that stuff. So are you okay with Odell's antics? You okay with that? Because I don't think the team.
That's in the past. I mean, that was 2-3 years ago with the Giants. I'm talking about right now. You know, it's a new season, and everything is somewhat going well. He had a good game, Thursday night against the Bengals.
And when he come out, Chad, and don't get but two targets, he going to complain. He going to cuss out Baker. He going to cuss out Stefanski. He going to go crazy.
He didn't complain last year. And the season wasn't good.
Yes,
it wasn't
he did.
A great season. He didn't complain.
He had no targets last year. He bitched the whole time.
Yeah.
He
didn't. He did.
So, all right, so Channing, you're not convinced that what Baker Mayfield and Cleveland Browns did on Thursday Night Football, that's not good enough?
Against Cincinnati?
It's good enough.
No offense.
You know what they did? B-Marsh, they ran for 220 yards. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb make the Browns. Baker Mayfield better get used to turning around handing the ball off. The Browns are about to become a running team. They're going to run Jarvis in the slot. They're going to trade Odell Beckham, hopefully, to New England, so he can get some structure.
So
he can
play that game. After that game, everybody calling for Odell. You see the first 15, which is notorious for the first 15, setting the first 15.
Always scripted.
And they're really trying to get the ball to Odell. You think they're going to trade Odell?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Odell is starting to become more of a headache than what his production is showing.
The only issue he's had is like that, but that was not really a scandal.
He didn't do anything. He'd be all right.
He didn't break a law. He didn't get arrested.
I think Cleveland's going to be good.
This is their season.
Seriously.
This is their season.
With Baker Mayfield?
It's do or die for Baker, yeah.
And you're like from that division, so you know
you
that.
You like Baker?
Oh, yeah.
Bro.
What about him do you like?
You know what I like?
I like his fucking moxie. I like his moxie.
Moxie? Like
yeah. I got that from TV.
Baker is one step above Johnny Manziel.
No, exactly. Let me tell you what I like
facts.
About Baker.
Big facts.
That's not true.
Big facts.
That's not big facts.
Big
Baker
facts.
Threw 35 interceptions in 2 years.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's fine.
He's too big for his britches.
It's about development. You might be right there, but I think the kid was humble. I like what I'm seeing here now. Is it natural to him? Is it organic for him to be humble and address the media?
No. He needs to go back to being himself, not that fucking.
I don't agree with you on that.
I like where he's at right now.
Here's what I like. Baker Mayfield is not the quarterback to drop back 40 to 50 times. That's what they were asking him to do. Guess what they did on Thursday Night Football and why it worked.
Out the fucking pocket.
Exactly. Get out the pocket. Use your athletic ability. Keepers, boot game. Play action. It worked. Why? Because exactly what you said. The Cleveland Browns is a running team.
That's not going to work.
And guess what happens when you have a running team? It takes all of the pressure off of the quarterback. Guess what he can do? What he does best. Get outside the pocket. Play action. Guys are wide open. You got one or two reads. You throw it. That's what he did. I like Baker Mayfield. And another thing I really like about Baker Mayfield, there's two plays. Number one, the touchdown to Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah. He boots to his left against his body. He throws a 40-yard touchdown, a bomb. You don't ask quarterbacks to do that.
You know what's funny?
You can't do that.
You know what's funny? The series before that, they ran the same play on the right side of the ball. And I forgot who the DB was. Who 22 for the Bengals again?
Jackson.
Jackson. Jackson had it covered, and he had to throw it out of bounds. They ran the same play on the opposite side, and he had Odell pump fake it.
But how do you call that play? You can't call that play. There's only been a handful of quarterbacks, and I may miss one or two, that's been asked to do that consistently. Brett Favre, Michael Vick in Philly, not in Atlanta, Michael Vick in Philly.
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers. And Russell Wilson.
Boy, Casey can do all that.
Yeah, he can do that, but they're not big on that. He just sit in the pocket, and then he runs
around. He can do everything.
But, like, their teams aren't asking receivers to do that, quarterbacks to do that. He did that. And he made it look easy. And then the second thing that made me jump out my seat with Baker Mayfield Thursday night was that throw to the wide side of the field, the speed out. That's a pick six. You saw Tom Brady down in New Orleans throw that same exact route. It was a quick out.
But he made a mistake.
And went six.
He made a mistake.
If you're an inch off.
He hits and then let the ball go.
And that proves my point, how hard of a throw that is. You have the GOAT, Tom Brady. He's 43. No, this guy can still ball.
So you're sold on the Browns this season?
I'm not sold. Hey, I like
it. What did you say?
I'm not sold on the Browns.
This the thing. Let me get this clear.
Will make the playoffs.
Let me get this clear,
it's
Brandon.
Only week two.
So we see 2 years of garbage play out of Baker.
Exactly.
30-plus games of nothing. That anybody's impressed
at what
by.
Point
and does, you see two throws, one minute. Cross body, and now he came into
at
his
what
own.
What point does
what
a player come into
defense?
Their own? Listen to that. What point does a player come to their own? What year?
What year does a player come to their own? Not a year to me, Ocho. It's one play. My dad always told me growing up, he said, son, it takes one play.
That changes everything.
Damn it, was he right. High school was one play where I had that, made that one play against Oviedo High School, and then everything changed for me.
After that?
It was one play in college. It was Liberty University, and everything changed for me. There was one play in the NFL where everything changed
when,
for me.
When did and your, it was when Sunday night football against
the Seattle Seahawks.
What year?
How you know that's Baker's play, though?
Seattle Seahawks was year two.
How you know that's Baker's play?
How do I know?
It's Baker's play.
The moxie.
Hey, but you,
hey, you get it from TV.
You talked about the speed out and Tom going to pick six. Now, all this amp about Tampa Bay, Bruce Arians, all these weapons, Godwin, all these tight ends with Brayton, all that, Mike Evans. Bro, I don't know if Tom can carry this team to no
Super Bowl. Tom look a little old.
With no preseason games.
Ain't he supposed to look
Don't you sit there and think of preseason.
Everybody needs preseason, man.
The vets try to get out the preseason game as fast as possible.
Nah, bro, everybody need preseason.
Need preseason.
Tom looks old.
Tom Brady need preseason.
You know
everybody
what?
Everybody need preseason.
Y'all saying me?
Tom need preseason. You know what you need? I just need when I come to Miami, I can throw it to you. When you come to Cincinnati, you know we can throw together. They can't have that global pandemic. Tom Brady, he was able to get with his guys. A week out of this whole quarantine thing.
They were Tom Brady didn't even follow quarantine rules.
He didn't. They were on TV throwing it at the high school
for a week.
No, they did it for a while. He did not follow quarantine. He even got dragged for it on the internet. Let's not act like he followed the rules.
And y'all, let's not act like we didn't watch the playoffs last year when he wasn't throwing air balls over 20 yards.
He looked old last season as well.
When did they ever? The entire offense is run from the inside out.
And you think if you could throw it deep, you're going to make everything in a 10-yard box? They were tending to Brady. Back with 06, 07, why did he throw everything deep to Moss? Why did he throw everything deep to Troy?
Randy Moss.
Troy Brown.
He can still throw it deep.
Mike Evans have a hamstring. Godwin has a concussion. He doesn't have them.
Did they play the first season?
Yeah, they did. They did, they did.
Okay, thank you. He got two great targets that a lot of quarterbacks don't have.
Yeah.
But we're overreacting.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
How do you feel about Cam? Are we going to overreact to Cam? Are we going to say that he's back to his prime? What are we saying?
It was a good game for him.
Does it bother you that you didn't see him throw past 10 yards? Or do you think
that's the offense he's in. The offense is predicated to what Cam does well. That wasn't a New England offense that we're used to seeing.
Right.
That was basically the Panthers offense all over again. Think about it. The same stuff.
And Cam has been injured 2 years in a row. If he runs the ball 15 times a game, he's going to get injured this year again.
I agree with you there. But here's what I would say. I played for Josh McDaniels in 2010. He took over Coach Shanahan, legendary coach. And he came in and changed everything. And one thing I know about Coach McDaniels is that he plays chess. So what you see 1 week, you're not going to see it the second week.
Yep.
Like, and you know this from New England. You played in New England. They setting up stuff. They doing stuff right now to set up things that they could potentially run in the Super Bowl. That's how they think in New England. So when you look at Cam, is he going to run 15 times a game? No. If he continues to run 15 times a game, if he played with another team, and that's what they probably do. Like, oh, it worked this week. Let's keep doing it. Will he get hurt? Yes. But what I believe what Josh McDaniels is going to do is continue to use his skill set week in and week out. It'll be different game plans. When you look at Cam, I don't think, S.A., that he was in his prime. Like, he was, like, mid-season form. He looked sluggish to me. Everybody, he looked great. No, he just ran. But did he have that burst? Did he have that power? Did he have that explosion? No. In the running game I'm looking at, week six, week seven, this dude is still standing upright. He's healthy. NFL need to take note. Like, this dude, you got to think about, he took a whole year off. He ain't played for a whole year. Do he have his legs? No, he still was able to do what he did in week one.
I think the Panthers owe him an apology.
Why?
I think the Panthers owe him an apology.
Why?
Because he played great. And I think him healthy, he's better than Teddy. And I love Teddy, but I think he's better. And they could have cut him earlier. I think they disrespect him, and I came from the Panthers, so... you know, respect, but I think they owe him an apology. I think he has a lot to prove, and he's proven it, and a lot of people counted him out. And him healthy, he is a top 10 quarterback.
I think he's a top 5 quarterback. Healthy.
Right now?
Healthy.
Right now?
Healthy, yes, oh. Right now.
So
right
who,
now,
who, yes, right who's now. Top five? Because who's top five healthy then? Well, who's top five healthy?
Well, you got Mahomes, you got Russell Wilson, you have
Rodgers,
Lamar Jackson.
Mahomes, you got Lamar Jackson still.
I already said those three.
You got Deshaun Watson.
I think healthy, Deshaun Watson is, to me, could be the number one quarterback in the league. But right now, he hasn't ascended.
First of all,
to that.
Deshaun has been healthy, so.
That's what I'm saying. But my thing with Deshaun is he hasn't ascended to that yet. Cam Newton is a trendsetter. He's a guy that revolutionized, like, the position.
3 years ago, B.
I understand. That's why I say healthy. Yes. So what I'm saying is the modern game, right now, what the NFL is today at the quarterback position, this is perfect for Cam Newton, a healthy Cam Newton, where you're dynamic, you can run, and you can pass. So if a healthy Cam Newton gets his legs under him with Josh McDaniels drawing it up, there's no way he can't have his best year ever.
I think best year ever.
There's no way he gets back to 2015.
Yes. Like undefeated was that 2016 season?
15,
like,
no,
I don't care about the record. I'm talking about his impact on the game. That's what I'm talking about. Cam Newton, he's 32?
Not sure.
He's 32 years old. This is his prime. How old is Russell Wilson? How old was Aaron Rodgers in his prime? Come on, man.
A 32-year-old that just came over, was it shoulder and then ankle?
Yes.
Throwing shoulder and then ankle.
But healthy. Drew Brees, shoulder injury.
No.
The Dolphins, your team, didn't take him. Oh, of course the Dolphins would take him. Yeah, but anyway.
So at 32, after back-to-back years, you think a guy can get back to his prime? I think it's unrealistic. I think that thought is unrealistic.
In the situation he's in now, it's possible.
The Patriots do. Wes Welker. Wes Welker's on the damn Hall of Fame ballot. Wes Welker, if he stayed with the Dolphins, he would have been nothing. The Patriots can create, they can take you and maximize what you have.
Yeah.
They can do that.
That's why they're the chance this would be his best year because they can maximize.
I don't know if he's ever going to match his best year, but I think he can make a run. And I think he can make
it.
They're going to
make a run regardless. Regardless to the pieces that change in New England, for some reason, they always end up in the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
That was Tom Brady.
Matt Castle came in. They won 11 games.
So, but we talking about guys out of this descending. Let me ask y'all about a guy I think is ascending. That damn Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
Bro.
He nice.
He was an athlete. Nice, I'm looking at a quarterback right now.
He nice.
Is he? He's starting to be a quarterback right now.
It's like for me. I look at athletes. I look at guys. You know that really like transcend the sport. And then also walk into like master, like that master like space. And Lamar, what he showed week one was like he was a master. Because like when we see Lamar, we see like Mike Vick, we see him making plays with his legs, and we don't really respect him for his arm. And there's three things that jumped out to me. His football IQ, him standing in the pocket. Like he was so which leads to my second point was his poise in the pocket. And the third thing is his accuracy. So when you look at Mike Vick and what he was able to do, now Lamar Jackson and how he's taking that generation one to making it generation two, I don't understand how anybody can scheme for this guy. He's walking into being a master at this position.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2 gram net zero hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle.
because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your crave.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Because he can take off and run, and then he can just sit in the pocket and just chill and just throw it around with accuracy, with intelligence. This dude is just like really taking a quarterback position to a whole nother level.
So is he about to be better than Patrick, or what are we saying?
Well, let's make sure that I want the record to reflect that you're different. From where?
I want the record to reflect that I just respect talent, and I happen
where are you
to,
from?
I happen to be from Kansas City, Missouri. But I also happen to know good talent. And I think that I don't think you can scheme for Patrick Mahomes, who can throw without looking.
I think you can scheme for him more than you can for Patrick Mahomes. You're a defensive guy, so I would love your perspective.
What's harder,
here.
Stopping a Patrick Mahomes pocket passer or stopping someone that could also throw
have you
and
seen
run?
Patrick throw?
But I would say Patrick, because like you were talking about all them rollouts. You were talking about all the, you know, moving the guy. You can send double-edged pressure. You can send field blitzes. You can compact the field on the running guy.
Exactly.
What we do with Michael Vick. When we play Vic, keep him in the pocket. Make him beat you with his arm. And that's what he was. He could do it. Now, he could throw the ball, but if he breaks that pocket, he's great. He's amazing. In that pocket, Michael Vick was very good.
Exactly.
He wasn't great. So with those athletic quarterbacks, you can keep him in the pocket. That's why Lamar surprised me. Last year, Lamar was balling. Lamar, MVP Lamar. He didn't have that poise. He didn't have that pocket presence. He didn't know. You didn't see Lamar last year. Check one, check two, third option, bomb. He's letting it go now. You can affect a running quarterback a lot more
exactly.
with pressure and keeping them condensed in a little 10-yard box. But when you keep Patrick in the box, that's where he's comfortable. That's where he
Super
wants to live. He wants to live in that box.
He admitted that he just learned how to read defenses like a year ago.
That's crazy.
Like, he has only upside. That's it. Like, he just learned how to read defenses.
Yeah, when he said that on the shop, I was like,
anybody
wow.
else, they would have killed him for that. You know that?
They would.
Any other quarterback would have said something like that.
Well, because he's half white. If he was a black quarterback, they'd be like, oh, yeah, that's oh. right, because black quarterbacks aren't that smart, and that's why we don't have to play the position. Tell me I'm lying.
You're lying.
I'm lying? Really? They literally did
he's,
not make
So now he's half white, so he gets the white privilege.
Absolutely. He gets the benefit of the doubt. they have never said that Mike Vick is smart. They said that Mike Vick is athletic. But somehow, it changes for white quarterbacks. Absolutely.
Or half white quarterbacks.
Yes.
So they say, so when you, like, you made a point, 10 black quarterbacks started
It's the year of the black quarterback.
It's the year of the black quarterback. You said that.
It is the record
so Patrick,
number of starting
so,
black
so,
quarterbacks
so
week
so
one.
So 9 started, because Patrick Mahomes is not black, he's half.
No, Patrick Mahomes is black,
he's
but he
black
is
guy.
Also half white.
You have your mom.
Yes, I'm half white. And when you see me, you don't say, oh, there goes the half white guy. You say, there goes the big black dude. Let's be honest.
First of all, there are differences in how people are perceived. And I certainly believe that Patrick Mahomes has benefited, not one, for having a professional athlete as his father. He's not the typical, quote unquote, black player that came from the hood and came from nothing. He came from a professional baseball player. Like, he came from a very affluent background. And yes, he is half white.
What about Russell Wilson? Very affluent background, very great
very
family, very
background.
Everything.
Very affluent
He's not
background.
Half white. Does he get the benefit of the doubt?
I don't know, but he's also never admitted that he didn't know how to read defense a year ago.
But he's Patrick Mahomes, but not half white. So they're on a different playing field?
I think they are different. I think that he's been judged for how he, you know, how he handles himself. And people have said that, you know, he's the more corny version. I don't agree with that assessment of him. I think there's variations of black, and I think you can be black in different ways. But I certainly believe that if a black quarterback who didn't have a white parent, if Lamar Jackson said, I just learned how to, first of all, they didn't even want Lamar. They told Lamar he couldn't be quarterback.
Yeah, you got the best player in the league that went, what, 32, 31?
Yeah. They literally said, you're not good enough to be quarterback.
In Louisville, he was very limited. I don't know if they limited him with the design of the offense or what, but he wasn't. What Lamar's doing now, I never saw when he was in college.
We all know, man. Come on. You know this. Black quarterback comes into the league, you know, it's all the discussion is how's his brain? That's everything, right?
Yeah, does he have the IQ?
In the league that Heisman winner, crush it, you know, lead the league in passing, NCAA in passing touchdowns. We're going to put him out wide receiver, we're going to put him out running back.
Absolutely.
I think that's real. But when we talk about Lamar Jackson and where he's at now, I think it has a lot to do with his quarterback coach. I think it has a lot to do with his OC. I think it has a lot to do with him. I think it has a lot to do with his mom, you know, and his kids, like, just discipline in his approach to, like, the off season.
But have you ever heard anyone say, you're on TV all the time, has anyone said he is a smart quarterback?
No, no one. And that's why I think he's dangerous. And that's why I think, like, he could potentially be, like, something that the league has never seen. Like, we said that last year. Oh, yeah. He's like, you know, another variation in generation two of Mike Vick, Randall Cunningham, Russell Wilson. No, like this dude sat in a pocket and he was like chilling and just like, you know, number one, number two, number three. He only took off 7 times week one.
Yeah, surprised me.
You know what I'm saying? Accuracy throwing down. He was 10 for 10 with passes past 10 yards. Like we haven't seen anything like that. And you know what makes it special is Greg Roman that running offense. Because if they can run the ball, it opens up everything for everybody else, even him at the quarterback position.
And we talking about young quarterbacks that can revolutionize something with coached combinations. Arizona, Kyler Murray, and Cliff Kingsbury. He's going to be in the MVP running here in the next couple years. They are going to be special like that. With DeAndre
next couple
now,
years,
with Hopkins.
I think they're like dark horse. I think they're a team. They went in 40 in San Francisco. They beat them at home. I think they could be the dark horse team to be like where did this team come from? Yeah. There's always one every year.
Yes.
I think that it's them. You got D-Hawk coming over, and then Kyler Murray.
You got Kyler, but you got Larry.
Special.
You got Larry
in the slot.
Just
and you got D-Hawk outside.
Yeah.
And you got Drake in the backfield. I'm telling you, Arizona. Kyler Murray's special. The man runs. He never gets hit. He knows how to slide. He gets down, deliver every ball, deep out, speed outs, and all y'all receiver talk, all they talk about. He can do all. I'm telling you, we're going to be talking about Kyler Murray like we're talking about Lamar Jackson.
So we're talking about the black quarterback. Mm-hmm. Where does Dak stand in all this?
Like, I don't like Dak.
At all? Okay.
I know why you don't like Dak. I know why you don't like Dak.
Why?
And you don't know why you don't like Dak.
Why don't I like
I
Dak?
Love Dak.
You love
why you don't
Dak?
Like Dak?
Dak,
He don't do it for you?
No,
that's a personal decision.
That he doesn't do it for me?
That's a personal decision.
That Dak is always in the running offense, and then whenever he gets to the big games late in the year, they got to make it, he always folds. Can he make the throws? Yeah, Dak's the quarterback now. But what have we seen year after year when he gets in the late in the season, when he gets down into the playoffs, into that first round? He's going to fold. He's going to fold. He's folded. He always folded. They've put 5 first-round linemen in front of him and one of the best running backs in the league, if not the best in Zeke. And they still can't win anything of any significance.
But the games that
That's
he lost, I don't know if he lost the games.
The
Are you saying that he lost
the games? Yes. He has to score more points. There was in all those games,
so
all
if
the games
team
in his
loses
career,
the game, it's the quarterback that loses it.
Well, that's how it goes, yes. Basically.
Okay.
When you're down by 7 and you have the ball and you don't score, that's on the quarterback.
Because I thought y'all said that, like, it takes a, you know,
when a team wins, who gets the credit?
There's a lot of different factors, but
that's
now it's like the quarterback.
That's why quarterbacks get paid the
when
most.
The team
they
wins,
touch
who
the ball
the
every time.
There's times where the
when the team wins, who gets the credit?
It's not always the quarterback.
Okay.
Is it the quarterback?
You know that.
Everybody
when the team loses,
everybody
who
knows
gets,
that
who,
essay.
Who they jump on?
Everybody else?
The quarterback. The good it's and the why bad. You, it's always
what's
the quarterback.
What's the saying? It's why they get the big bucks.
Exactly. I think you could argue that for wide receivers sometimes too, though.
What if they don't get no targets? Then it can't be their fault.
Well, here's what I'll say about Dak, and this is why I believe, like, you know, people are wishy-washy on Dak, and it's like black and white, hot and cold with Dak, is because I truly believe
he played for the Cowboys.
Huh?
Because he played for the Cowboys.
No, it's not that he played for the Cowboys. Here's the issue is, like, when you watch Dak, you're like, yo, this kid is special. He's really good. But he approached it from, like, a traditional standpoint. I'm Peyton Manning. I'm Tom Brady. You know, like, yo, you're a black quarterback. You got to overachieve. You have to stand in the pocket and be a traditional quarterback. That's not who you are, bro. Like, you can take off. You can run. You can be what Russell Wilson is. You can be what Lamar Jackson is. You can even be what Mike Vick was. First game, he takes off three times.
So because really? He's black, he has to run the ball?
No, here's what I'm saying. No, it's not because he's black. It's because he's capable, right? Like, Baker Mayfield was capable of taking off and running, and he does that. But, like, I think he's overcompensating because when the Dallas Cowboys, we talk about them every year. Oh, there they get on talent, on paper, they're the most talented team.
Facts.
They're a contender.
They say that every year.
Correct. And when they truly are a contender is when Dak changes game and he stopped overcompensating, when he actually start taking off. He don't need to take off 15 times like Cam Newton did in week one, but like Lamar Jackson took off 7 times and he truly changed the game. Can Dak do that? Dak ain't doing that, bro.
He can do it, but he's a pocket passer.
He's a pocket passer. But when the game was on the line in L.A. in the brand new stadium, open up this beautiful stadium. What is it? Whatever it's called. SoFi, whatever it's called. SoFi. I don't know what the hell it's called. Game's on the line. What did he do? He took off. Third and like 10. He got the first down.
Yeah.
You know what it does to a defense when a quarterback takes off third down. Two man. You can't play two man against him. Russell Wilson, you play two man.
Gone.
Even Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you play two man. He ain't looking for no one, no two. He ain't looking at us, Ocho. What are you doing? He taking off. Oh, yeah, let me set it up. 1,001, 1,002, I'm taking off. So B, I think that's the thing with Dak.
B, this man is, what's he in his fifth? Is this his fifth year?
Yeah.
So you're asking him to become something he hasn't been in 5 years.
He hasn't been that.
That's not his game.
That is not his game.
Then he ain't going to never be a contender.
And that's why I don't like him. We circle back around. Yeah. He's going to get to the big game, week 15, 16, to win the NFC East, or they might slide in as a wild card in the playoffs, and he's going to get
but
his ass
But has he had hit. Great coaching?
He didn't have great coaching, but he's had.
And a quarterback needs a good coach. He has, hyperbole,
whatever they say, he's had one of the best rosters in the NFL year after year.
He's had one of the best rosters, but he hasn't had one of the best coaches. Yes or no?
No. I don't like Jason Garrett. I'm not a fan of that man at all.
Yeah, he was with the damn great roster now.
All right, so look, let's end this one.
End.
You know, this is a. You want to keep going?
Yeah. I want to go home.
Oh, I got one more because this is down high. We in Miami right now. We got to do Miami. You just brought up Ryan Fitzpatrick. Tua is healthy. He's not on the injury report. He is healthy.
You cover him every day.
His hip's fine. Every day I cover him.
Yeah.
He's not on injury report. He's just not playing.
He's not supposed to.
Why?
He's not the better quarterback.
That's an indictment on him.
Don't throw that man out there like that, man.
Why not? Bro,
oh, man.
Think about who got thrown out. Now, you can say, there's the guys. Yeah, there's the Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for a little while. Aaron Rodgers sat behind some guys. Yeah. But, bro, Manning. Kyler Murray, you can go through a bunch of dudes that walked in the league and just started about Russell Wilson walked in the league showing out.
Did you see what he had to work with?
Yeah.
Did you see what Tua would have to go in and work with?
Does he get better sitting there looking at Ryan play?
Yes. Don't throw him out to the Sharks like that. Don't do that.
There's a lot you can learn on the sideline. Yeah, you know, being able to see how Ryan. You know, he's a cerebral quarterback and how he approached the game, how he breaks down film, how he interacts with his teammates. Like, there's so much to learn. Like, to ask that quarterback to walk in that huddle right now and lead your team to victory, I think that's a no-no.
But usually people wait on the sideline because they're backing up someone that's great.
not true. Great or bro. Just better or more experienced.
So, no, but think about
I think,
it.
But you, I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than it's, and obviously experienced.
So you're right telling now, me yeah. that Burrow has just weapons galore?
Ocho?
Yeah.
AJ Green, bro. AJ Green, he lost his fastball. AJ Green,
lost what?
What are you talking
you
about,
think AJ
man?
Green? AJ Green, what AJ Green rank right now?
Nothing wrong with AJ, man.
Yeah, no, bro. AJ,
you, all right?
You saw that go ball, that boy. Bro, you know how hard it is to track that
very hard.
You saw what he did.
Over
it was out of
left shoulder. Ooh. Ain't nothing wrong with that boy.
Hey, so you can throw. Playing a quarterback, and I'm asking really, yeah. y'all, my playing a quarterback depends on what's around him. To play.
Yes, I would say yes. Yeah. And who's to play?
Because they throwing a lot of quarterbacks out there, they balled. And they throw, we have the David Carrs where you throw a guy out, he gets gunshot because he gets hit so
they
much.
They killed him.
They killed him. So you have both sides of it. But you had the Mahomes, but you had the Mannings. You got the guys, and you know, Peyton Manning was garbage his first year.
He was
garbage.
Like historic.
But he learned. So why can't Tua be Peyton? Put him out there. Let him learn.
Yeah,
here's why.
Ryan Fitzpatrick isn't good enough for Tua to be on the sideline.
Well, here's why. You got a new head coach, and you have a franchise haven't won in years.
It's his second year.
They really haven't won for real ever.
Since 72.
Shula.
Yeah, first round exit ever since 72, I believe.
You know this, man. You got two, maybe 3 years as a coach to show that you can do it.
Get it together.
So you think the coach, the players, the people in that locker room, you ain't thinking, oh, yeah, let's develop Tua. Next year is going to be better. You just went, like last year we was talking about y'all tanking.
Yeah.
That's what we was talking about with the Miami Dolphins. That ain't happening, bro. So this coach, Flores, he thinking like, what's my best opportunity to win? And now, that is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
And he has to win now. Because you know the leash on him is short.
And why is it short?
Huh?
Why is it short?
Why was it short on Hugh Jackson in Cleveland?
why is it short?
I'm just asking.
Well, so what are you saying? You think Hugh Jackson, he should be still head coach in the league?
Come on, man.
I don't think he wasn't a problem.
But is at least short when you 1-32? Or no. 1-31, whatever he went. 1-30, 45.
You have to win. What year is
But that was saying you say it's what a short leash on Hugh, but Hugh won one game in 2 years. I think that's a pretty long damn leash. 1-31?
Do the most of what you can.
All right, look, I do want to end with this. Like, I want to give the people a little something. You know, like, football talk is all that's great, you know, but I think all y'all got here because you guys had like life principles. And I'll start with me, you know, but like I want to know, like, what were y'all life principles? Like, what do you guys live by? You know, for me, there's a few things. You know, of course, like, number one is faith. I truly believe that changed the trajectory of my life. Yeah, that's just like everything for me. You know, I just think that. Yeah, that's everything. But then I think about some practical things that people can take away, because sometimes we throw religion in there, like people get lost. But like, that's number one. Gave my life to Christ in 2011. But then I look at like, okay, what do I do every single day to like help me get to that next level? Number one, I train, I work out. And I see a lot of players struggling because when they lead a game, they don't train. And I just think like what happens, like, the type of hormones that get released when you train. That's one. Two, fuel. Like, fuel correctly, eating correctly. This dude, he eats McDonald's all the damn time. I don't know how he lasts and how long he
can last. First of all, you had McDonald's before we got here.
Today. Yeah, but that's like every once in a while. Oh, he eats, like, that's part of his lifestyle. But fueling correctly, that's number two. Three is mentally fit and approaching both the same, whether it's impairment or performance. And then the fourth thing is recovery, taking care of ourselves, going on vacation, taking care of that bum knee, that back. And then the last thing is trial. Like, none of us got to where we were because of, you know, just ourselves. Like, we had a team around us, people who like really supported us and invested in us. So those are the five things that I call pillars that helped me get to where I'm at. You know, I don't know if you guys have like one, two, three things or a person in your life. Like, there was like, oh, these are things I live by, you know?
Man, that's a good one. Mm. I never thought about it like that. Mm. Or just as far as life. Life for me has always been day by day, not knowing what's next and just going each day. But having the discipline to do some of the things
What I always do is like, think about it. I'm going to work out with you, 8-week program. Mm. Why? I'm not playing. I just find these little short-term goals and I have the discipline to reach them, you know? So that's 8 weeks of my life. Then when that ends, all right, I think of something else. And so I set another short-term goal and try to accomplish that. And that's how my years go day by day since I've been going. I find things that can keep me busy and keep my mind going and keep my body going. Similar to what you're doing, it's just not in that same format in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now football season. I love football season because, you know, you gave me the opportunity to do the show. So this is one thing. And they got Bleacher Report. And they have NFL Films, another show I'm doing. Then at ESPN. So it was like, it gets busy. Then when the downtime comes after Super Bowl, then here come that discipline with the short-term goals. I got to activate for 6 months. And then there'll be a new set of goals that I try to reach. And that's how life has been for me. Like, that's crazy that you asked that. I never thought about it until you just asked it. Like, wait, what the fuck have I been doing?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the way I've been doing everything. Like, day by day and not like the way you put yours.
Yeah.
Kind of weird, though, right?
No, because, like, what I look at is I was like, okay, what am I doing that helped me reach this level? And is it true for other professional athletes?
Right.
Because we all do the same things. Like, we train, we fuel correctly, we're mentally fit, we deal with stress, we deal with anxiety, we deal with depression at times. But we also deal with those high moments, scoring that touchdown, putting on that yellow jacket. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like we have that balance. We know how to approach both the same. We recover. And then the last thing is tribe. That's why. Channing, I don't know for you, bro, like, if there's any life principles that you live by, your family.
Y'all kind of made me feel bad about it. Keep working out, keep eating good. I drink Pinot Grigio from the moment I wake up in the morning. I drink me a cup of coffee and I start drinking wine. I drink wine all day long. I don't work out.
In the morning.
Brandon begged me, bro, come on over here, man. Come to the house. I'm like, yeah, I'll be there. Turn my phone over, go back to bed. But the two things I do, and it ain't been like my whole life. Y'all know me. We talked enough. At this moment in my life, bro, it's crazy. I don't try to mess over anybody. I think people call it karma. I don't try to cheat my taxes. I don't try to speed. I don't try to cut nobody off. I really just, like, when I retired, I just laid back. I just cool. I talk, you know what I'm saying? I do the media, I talk, I, you know, get my opinion out, then I think I have that vent. But, bro, I just really don't try to mess nobody over. And anything I'm doing for my wife and kids. Like, anything, any of the goal, like, coming here today. When I got dressed, I'm getting dressed to come here to better the life of my wife and kids. Like, that's my goal. Y'all talking about that goal? My goal is to have my wife and my three kids in the best situation possible at all times.
I love that.
And that's what fuels me. I don't need no workout. I don't need no hormones. I don't need all that.
Yeah.
I got my babies, my four babies, my baby, my big baby, my beautiful wife, Asia, and my three babies, bro. That's all I need. It's the craziest thing. I never thought I'd get to this point in my life.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a good one. I mean, that's already there. You know what I mean? What he's saying, obviously, the kids. Obviously, you have kids. But that's already, in a sense, cemented.
Yeah.
You're already doing that anyway. You know what I mean? So, but I needed something extra, you know,
yeah,
outside of what you already have to do as a father anyway.
Yeah.
But that's a good one.
Well, not necessarily, because there's some people, man, it's just deadbeats, bro.
Nah. Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
Everybody's not built like that.
Not everybody built like you and Channing, where it's like, you know, I'm taking care of my kids and I'm intentional in the development of them. Nah, bro, that's big. You do it naturally and organically. That doesn't hold true for everybody.
And I ain't grew up with no father. So I'm not going to fall into that same.
You're trying to break a generational curse.
I'm breaking that curse. Honestly, I take off work to make a baseball game.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
I'm going to be there.
I mean, for me, I live my life, you know, one of my mantras is well-behaved women rarely make history. And I have never wanted to fit the mold of what, you know, the limitations that people have put on Black women, and especially Black women in sports. And so, you know, that's been my mantra. That's how I live my life. But then I also, you know, I believe that, you know, the last shall be first. And, you know, everything that I've been given, I want to give back. And so, you know, to whom much is given, much is required. And so I don't take it lightly that I get to work with professional athletes and I get to, you know, have this, you know, lifestyle and go to Super Bowls. It's like I'm breaking this glass ceiling, but I don't want the glass to cut the people that come behind me, right? Mm-hmm. And I want to leave the door a little bit more wide open. for people to come and more girls to come, not just black women, but black women that went to HBCUs, and that guides everything that I do. And when you have a purpose and you live by it, you can't go wrong. It doesn't matter what I do. As long as I'm staying true to those two things, I'm going to be okay.
Drink this Hennessy to that.
That ain't
your
no Hennessy.
Your
fake Hennessy. Toast.
You don't even drink. Cheers.
People at home don't know that.
Cheers.
We had to fight to get a meal. Yeah, wrongfully accused. We had to fight to get a pills. That's why we write to get a deal. He on the team, he gotta eat, you know. Despite the skills, fat. Keep it riding for the fam. You gotta light the wicked wheel straight up.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.